Good. Well, we're in the book of Ruth, last chapter, chapter 4.
Happy ending.
One of the books with a happy ending. In fact, the Bible has a happy ending, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Good book, you see. And I did say each chapter links to the next one, and so we start in chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate. Well, the link to that is the last verse of the chapter 3. Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." So she knew there was a sense of urgency in Boaz now. He's just had a proposal. I mean, one you can't refuse, really, can you? But he knows there's a complication. Somebody else is a closer relative, so that needs sorting out first. Okay? Right, so, chapter 4, verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. Right, so he was having a rest, was he? What's he doing at the town gate, sitting down? The town gate is the council place. That's basically it. It's where the meetings were held by the leaders, the elders of the town and whatever. So it was the council place, that's basically it. So that's what he's doing. Yeah, it's not just any old place. He's gone to where the big decisions are made. Yeah. So he goes there, and when the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, now there's something remarkable. We know about the kinsman redeemer. He's the one, the close relative, who has the legal obligation to marry the wife of the deceased man whose property is being sold. Right, that's the idea. So he's got to take on the responsibilities of maintaining the inheritance. That's the idea, yeah? So the kinsman redeemer, he says, he came along. What about that? What do you think to that? Was that an accident? Another coincidence. Remarkable coincidence. He could have been on holiday. But today is the day to sort things out. And sure enough, along comes the chap. Isn't that one? Isn't God good? Mm. He can work out the little details. You don't have to go into engineering too much. He's very good at it, right? So, yes. So, kinsman redeemer comes by, and Boaz says, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." That's a good start. Call him a friend, you know, get on his good side. Right? Come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. Isn't it interesting how they've got time to do business? You know, in our world, you'd have to make a booking for 3 weeks ahead, wouldn't you, or something. But here, relax, you know.
And then it'd probably be cancelled.
Well, then, possibly so. But anyway, there we go. So come over here, and he sits down. So then Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town. So he rounded them up as well. Mm. Okay, thereabout. So these are the leaders of the town, the witnesses, effectively, right? And he says, "Sit here." So they did so. So they're all sitting down. That's the way to do business, isn't it? Take a seat. So then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech." Right, so that's the starting point. He's saying, Naomi is selling. Well, there's some translations say Naomi's already sold. And it's his job to bite back, right? Question, I'm not sure which is the better answer to this one. do you think she's sold up already? Remember, she's hard-pressed. I mean, when they left, you know, Bethlehem, they were just leaving for a long time, I suppose. I don't suppose he sold the land there, but somewhere in the meantime, after many years, maybe he got sold. I don't know. But anyway, it's up for sale, possibly, or already sold. Yeah. One way or another, it's got to be bought back. Right, that's the point. It'll cost you. Did you know that? Right. Mm-hmm. You're going to buy this land, it'll cost you. Right, so, she's come back, selling a piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. Notice, our brother, we're in this together. Right, he's the man that's the former husband of Ruth. Yeah. Right. "I thought I should bring the matter to your attention." Isn't that nice? Yeah. "I thought I should bring it." He's absolutely burning to bring it. Yeah. Right. Okay. "I thought I should bring the matter to your attention, suggesting that you buy it in the presence of these seated here, in the presence of the elders of my people." Right. So he's saying, "Well, let's do it official. You buy it back." Right. Well, he's telling him what he should do, but what's going on in his heart of hearts?
Please don't.
Please don't. Yes, I think. Yeah. I hope he doesn't go for this one. But he's got what's the word? A nuclear button in his hand at the moment as well. So, right, yeah. So, If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so that I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you and me, except you, and I'm next in line. So that's basically what he's saying, is if you don't do it, I'll do it. So, okay, he's giving him an option, yeah? So the chap says, we don't even know his name, by the way, do we? I will redeem it, he said. And how do you think Boaz felt with that? Oh dear, but did he show it? This is serious game of negotiations, right? Yeah, I'm making fun of it, but this was serious what's going on here. I don't think he gave away what was going on in his heart. Yeah. So then Boaz said, this is the nuclear bit, yeah? Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, because she's owner of it, because she's the wife of the aforesaid person, right? You acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. So that's it. He says, if you buy the land, you also get the missus. Right? That's the way it is. That was the rules, as those days were. Yeah? So, what's he say? At this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Right? What's that mean?
He wants to protect the inheritance for his children.
For his children. He's got kids, and if he marries this lady as well, and they have kids, then the whole family estate gets chopped up by the number of kids that Ruth has. Yeah? So he's endangering his inheritance for his kids if he does what he's... You know. Also, it'll cost him to buy this thing, but obviously he's not too worried about that. Right? So, I can't do it. So, what do you think Boaz felt then? Yes, good. That was good, yes. And did he show it? No, I don't suppose he did, yes. Now, in earlier times, in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. Now, in earlier times tells us that the book of Ruth was written before the events that we're reading about. Of course it was, yes. But it suggests there's another reason. What particular period do you think the book of Ruth was written? I mean, the events happened in the time of the Judges, but it came to be written up by the author of the book of Ruth later on. And we know it's later on because of what we get at the end. We get the genealogy of David. Right? So, genealogy of David is a good 100 years or so subsequent to the events. Yeah? So this was a family record passed down, right, that the writer put together eventually. Yeah? Right. So, in those times, what did they do? In order to transfer property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. How about that's a good one? Why the sandal? There's a great verse that's told to Joshua when they go into the land. Wherever you put your foot, it's yours. Right, okay. So it was a sign of saying, that's what I've had my foot on is now yours. Yeah? Transfer of property. I may be silly here, I probably am. What do you think he did with the sandal once he'd handed it over?
Hopped it,
yeah. I think he gave it back. Yeah, I can't see the solicitor's office full of shelves of shoes, you know. Those are legal documents, aren't they? Yeah. Can you imagine the solicitors with a line of single shoes? It's no good to anybody, is it?
It was the symbolism of actually.
It was symbolism, yes. Yes, I suspect he handed it back after the ceremony such, yes. But it's seriously symbolic. I'm handing over the property to you. So, right. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. So that explains why he removed his sandal. Yeah? Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, so this is the official statement, right? Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion and Mahlon. Those are the... Elimelech was the... I got that wrong, didn't I? Elimelech is the husband of Naomi. Yeah. Right? Was it Mahlon or Chilion was the husband of Ruth, one of them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, okay. So all of those, he says he's getting the property of that. I've also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, we've got it, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead and his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family from the town records. today you are witnesses. Right? So that's what he did. Right? He tells in front of everybody what's just happened. I've bought the property of Elimelech and his sons, and I've married Ruth. Now, what's odd about that?
Well,
this is technically the wedding. But she's not there. It's strange, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah? But that's technically the wedding. This is official now. Mm. She belongs to him. Mm. Right, so do you think that was it? He thought, well, that's a cheap wedding, isn't it, eh? Save on the dress and the buffets and stuff like that. What do you think? Do you think they had a wedding afterwards?
They used to have a feast afterwards.
They had serious feasts, yes. The wedding was a week job of celebrations and things like that. I'm sure they did a good one for Ruth, don't you?
It's just as well that she wanted it, because otherwise they could...
Yes, well, that would be...
Isn't it?
Very
nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's like an arranged marriage, isn't it?
Except that
she's already proposed.
She has proposed. She has proposed. And he was willing to go on with this one, definitely, right? Mm. So, that's the wedding. But as I say, I'm certain they did some special celebrations to go on with that one, yes? Right. Then the elders and all those at the gate said, we are witnesses. So that's made it official, right? And then they said, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. Well, they're blessing. They're pronouncing a blessing. Rachel and Leah are the two wives of Jacob that produced half the number of tribes of Israel. The other two concubines, or whatever, maids, what they call them, they had some children as well, and that made up the 12 tribes. But they're basically saying is, may she be a blessing to our nation, and may she be blessed by God. Right? May the Lord make this thing to happen, yes? Lovely, eh? Right, so then, may you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Ephrathah is just another name for the area where Bethlehem is, yeah? So that's the sort of tribal area. Right, may you have standing in Ephrathah and Bethlehem. Well, is that? That's a prophecy or a blessing. Did it come true?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're reading it now. Yeah, that's...
He was a man of standing,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, but this is serious standing now, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, there's a promise, that's a blessing. Mm-hmm. They don't know if they're going to have children, but that's the aim of the what's been going on, yeah? Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, notice she's young, right?
Yeah.
Although she's been married, she's lived a few years as a widow, she's still quite young, yeah? Right. May the Lord give you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Have you read the story of Judah and Tamar?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good story,
no.
But the kid didn't have anything to blame about it. Mm-hmm. Perez became quite an outstanding person.
She
by all
was
accounts.
Right, wasn't she?
No, it was a con job, basically.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Interestingly, the situation that happened with Tamar should have been what Boaz did with Ruth. Judah had three sons. Two of them were supposed to be married to Tamar, right? But they both died. And then the third son, which was a bit young but ready to get married, not too in the distant future, he refused to give Tamar this third son. He might die as well. Don't know. Maybe there was some suspicion he thought, but it wasn't that case, yeah? So Tamar, after realising he's not going to give his son, she pretends to be a shrine prostitute during the harvest. And Judah, it's a whole shoddy business, really. But as a result of that, she has this child, twins in fact, but she has Perez. And Perez becomes quite an outstanding person by all accounts. It's in Bethlehem, isn't that interesting? The whole one of the other things that strikes me as remarkable about this whole little section is how societies in those days were much less mobile than ours are today. You know, grandparents, great-grandparents, you could trace your family back to the same bit of village. It doesn't happen now, does it? We're scattering all over the place. Yeah. But in those days, there was... And so the town records would be a pretty good way to look up who's who and so on. Right, so... That's the blessing that they offer, right? So then we finish the book with this description as the genealogy of David. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. That's the wedding bit. Yes. So nice wedding. Yeah, sure it was. Right. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive. How about that? Right. Remember, she's not been able to have children before. Was it her or was it her husband? We don't know. But the Lord blessed her with being able to have children. And she gave birth to a son. That's good, isn't it? Well, sons are important in those days. Daughters are pretty good too, mind you. But there we are. And the women said to Naomi, who are the women?
The women of the village.
The townfolk, the village folk. Yes, it is a village really affected with that, yeah? The people of the village, because they know what's going on, of course. They say, praise be to the Lord. praise be to the Lord. So these are godly people. That's good to know, isn't it? Praise the Lord for what's happened, yeah? Who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer? Right, so they're saying this to Naomi, right? Because technically the child that Ruth has is Naomi's. Yeah? So that's why they're saying it that way, right? Yeah. He's not left you without a kinsman redeemer. The Lord hasn't forgotten her after all. Now, just remember, right at the beginning of the story, Naomi, coming back, says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter, because it's really gone bad. Right? But at the end of the story, different. She's got a smile on her face now. Yeah? And not only a smile on the face, but a baby on her knee, as you'll see. May he become famous throughout Israel. Well, yes, there you are. Right? He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. That's what some of the things that children were for in those days, you know, to look after you when you got old. Now it's the other way around, I've noticed. All the old ones are looking after the kids, it seems. Well, such is life. It's modern times for you, but there you go. Right. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. Now listen to this. This is great. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Hey, isn't that lovely? They recognize, now this is the wonderful thing, the village people, recognize in Ruth, here's somebody special. A foreigner who chose to join herself with the people of God, to worship the living and true God, and to support and help the woman who'd lost her husband and her son. See? They recognize this woman is something special, and Ruth is. And they say, you know, she's better to you than seven sons. Well, there you go. How about that? Why do they say seven sons?
Completeness.
It's a complete. The package, yes.
Because,
right.
and she sticks to me. She's faithful. The sons get up and go and get married.
Well, but she's going to have a home now. Yeah, that's a new place for Naomi and for Ruth, yes. Mm. Yeah. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and cared for him. So, you see, she's not just granny, she's mum as well. It's nice, eh? Though I suspect when the baby started to squeak a bit, she said, Ruth, you had this one. Would you mind? But there you go. It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah, lovely family scene. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. Because that's the legal position. He's the inheritor now of the family blessings, yeah? And they named him Obed. Yes, Obed. What's Obed mean? Does anybody know? Mm-hmm. It's to do with servant. It's a reference to the kind of servant, yeah? Right? He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, right? Now that's the significance of the book of Ruth as far as the man that wrote it down is concerned. Mm-hmm. He wants to establish the genealogy of the king of Israel, David. That's what the book's about, yeah? But we know this. God had bigger plans than just that. Because we know that David is the ancestor of Jesus. And so this genealogy becomes part of Jesus' genealogy. Yeah? Mm. It's picked up by Matthew. So we're going back to Perez. Remember? Right the way from the time of Judah. This is the time, the line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Now, when was Perez alive, by the way? He was alive when there were just the 12 sons and a few kids. Right? That's when Israel lived in Canaan. Well, we'll call him Jacob then. When Jacob lived in Canaan, Perez was born round about that time. Yes? Right? So they still got to go to Egypt and then go through the time of the conquest and so on. Yep. So Hezron is the father of Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram the father of Aminadab. Aminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. And Salmon the father of Boaz. Right? So, if you just hold your fire there, can you go to Matthew, please? So we just want to pick out a few things about these. It's Matthew chapter 1, by the way.
Matthew 1. Thank you.
Right, have we got that in there? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Yeah, okay, yeah. So, right, we've got Perez. So, it's in verse 3. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Aminadab, Aminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. That's the bit I want. Right? Right, so Boaz's mother is described as Rahab. Right.
The prostitute.
Yes. Now then, just notice that. How many years were the Israelites from the time of Jacob in Egypt? 400 years. Yeah. Give or take. That covers those early names. Right? What's happened? Because they'll have to live to well into their hundreds to cover that time. What's happened? Remember what Matthew did? We looked at the genealogy of Matthew. We saw he left names out. Yeah. Yes? This is probably what's happened here, right? These are the important ones in the family line, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? And they do it, he does it in order to get to the number 10. They're like 10 generations, you know. Right? So, we've got to the time of Boaz's mother was Rahab, it says, right? So what time was Rahab around? She was around at the time of Joshua, right? Okay. And then we have another, up to the time of Gideon, which is when Ruth is set about then, we have another 300 years, right? So what's happened is they've missed out some of the names of the individuals and picked out and selected the important ones, yeah? But it's important to know these are the lines that lead from there. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. Those three are probably just about the right length of time. From Gideon through to David, it makes just about the right time. 3 generations or so, yeah? So, we've got to the line of David. That's the important bit about what the book of Ruth is for. It's not just a nice story. It's a special story to tell us about the origins of David. Yeah? What's the wonderful thing about the origins of David, which are important for the ancestry of Jesus, is that Jesus draws into his ancestry all sorts of people. Yeah? Mm-hmm. The good, the bad, the really bad, and the really good.
And the Gentiles.
And Gentiles too. So, Ruth is one of those. And also in Matthew we get, who else was it? Rahab. She comes in as well. So all of these people show us that the ancestry, the human ancestry of Jesus, incorporates the whole bag, mixed bag of what humanity is, in order to redeem the mixed bag of humanity. That's wonderful, isn't it? Eh? Mm. So the story of Ruth has an important place in the history of redemption. That's what it's about. Yeah. And so just to wind up the story, it starts off very sad, really. Things have gone wrong. Everything seems to have fallen apart. And as a result, Naomi and her husband head south. They go east and then go south to Moab. And as a result, everything seems to fall apart. And all she comes back with is Ruth. But think about it. God allowed these things to happen in order to get that one woman back in the line for David and Jesus. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. But he does. Yeah. And so you never know. So let me just offer you this as one little thought. Don't discount the day of small things. What seems like unimportant and trivial, it could be God's doing something really big through that. The old rabbis had this saying. I've said it before. God hangs mountains on threads. Yeah. It's strong enough when God's made it. But it looks jolly thin at the time, doesn't it?
And when it looks good and bad in our eyes, it's not necessarily,
so. No. So, that's our dear Ruth and her family. And they all lived happily ever after. Wasn't perfect, I'm sure, but they did. And we get to David. Was David's family, well, we won't go into that, but was David's family a happy family?
No.
His older brothers didn't think much to him. His dad didn't appear to think much to him at the time. No. Remember when Samuel was sent to anoint a king? And all the brothers were lined up from tall to next, and Samuel went through, saw the first one by, he's a strapping lad, he's the one. And the Lord said, that's not it. So he went through all of them, and then he says, none of them, there must be someone else. Have you got anybody else? And Dad says, well, there is one more, but he's out looking after the sheep. That doesn't sound much of a compliment to me. Right? But God, Samuel says, fetch him, we'll have to see. And when he walked through the door, the Lord said, that's the one. God chosen. Yeah. And Ruth, Boaz, we've looked what looked like complete coincidences. She turns up at the right field at the right time. The kinsman redeemer walks by just at the right time. All these things happen at just the right time because someone's running the clock. His name's God. So he's got your time in his hands as well, right?
But we know there must have been a lot of seeking with Naomi, with her
distraught. I bet she was praying. She was praying. Yes. Good woman. So let's just pray. Hey? Father, thank you for this amazing story, a true story, Lord, that you can do amazing things with ordinary people. Lord, they were just part of the town, part of the village, really, Lord. Just everyday country folk, as the old saying goes, Lord. But yes, Jesus, you had a plan for their lives, a really big plan, ultimately, for the saving of the world. Lord, couldn't get better than that. And yet they didn't know about that, Lord. And Lord, the things that you want to do in our lives, we're not aware of the final consequences and the potential of them, Lord. Just help us all to be faithful, to stand up for what's right, to do what's right, Lord, and leave you to work it out. Thank you, Lord. Your timing is impeccable. Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. And so, Lord, help us to trust you. Thank you that Boaz, Lord, trusted you. Ruth trusted you. And, Lord, they found out, Lord, that you've got a really wonderful plan for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for them. Thank you for our Lord Jesus who came from them. We bless you, Father, for your Son who became a man. Lord, taking on the sin of the world and being represented in his genealogy by the whole mix of messed up humanity, the best and the worst. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've redeemed us, all of us, from our sin because we've put our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.